You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans listening to Lock on Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked on Mets. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com. And tell them that Locked On sent you. Now for today, I want to play some of the audio from the locker room I hosted on Wednesday night at 8 p.m. This was really a new platform for me, a lot of fun to engage with some Mets fans and, you know, listeners of this show. And in the first segment today, I will be talking about the big news, which is that Jordan Yamamoto has been optioned to AAA. So I'm going to get into that in the first segment, but I also we'll talk about it more with the listener in the third segment as I'll play a big part of the locker room call, which is when I was talking to a listener, Brian Lozinski, about the Mets pitching. That's kind of the main topic we get into. I thought it was really great, so I wanted to play that for you guys. And also in the second segment of the show today, we'll hear from the first caller on the locker room segment. I'm calling it a caller because it felt like, you know, New York sports talk radio, which I obviously listened to a bit when I was growing up and also going through college. So it was cool to kind of get that feel on this locker room app. And in that second segment, you hear me talk to Mendy, who I was actually on his podcast at one point as a guest, host of Whole Lot of Mets. And we talk about the extensions for Conforto or Lindor. That was kind of the one clip that I pulled from the locker room. So again, first segment, going to talk a bit about Jordan Yamamoto. I'll expand on that more in the third segment. In the second segment, playing the conversation about Conforto or Lindor. Before we get into any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMemorizeOnline.com. So just to cover the news, and again, I'll get into it in a little bit more depth later on. The Mets announced after the game on Wednesday that Corey Oswalt, Bruce Maxwell, and Brandon Drury have been reassigned. None of them were on the Mets major league roster, the 40-man, so they all just will start the season likely in Syracuse. And, you know, really the only one of those three that had a shot to make the team was Corey Oswalt. Brandon Drury has been getting some playing time as a guy who has major league experience and maybe could have filled some type of a utility role. But with Luis Guillorme, with Jonathan Villar, the Mets certainly have coverage, did not need Drury. And then with Oswalt, I mean, it was clear that he wasn't in the Mets' plans when they DFA'd him back in February to make some room. I don't remember for which player at the time, but to clear up a 40-man roster spot. I think it might have been Kevin Pillar. But ultimately, that kind of told you all you needed to know. Oswalt luckily did not get claimed by anyone, so he still represents some depth in the Mets in AAA. The big news, though, was that Jordan Yamamoto has been optioned in AAA using one of those minor league options, and he will not be on the opening day roster. Really thought that he had a good shot to be part of the Mets opening day roster, whether it would have been as the fifth starter or coming in as a swing man. Now the Mets have to look towards Joey Lucchese as the likely fifth starter, and maybe someone like Mike Montgomery taking over a swing man role, unless they go with no swing man and just straight relievers to fill out that bullpen. Or I guess Robert Gazelman could kind of also fill that role of being a relief pitcher that gives the Mets some length. As I said multiple times already, I talk a lot about Yamamoto in the third segment, so I don't want to repeat myself, but one of the things that I cut from the locker room audio was me talking about Yamamoto as a trade piece. And I think that's something that is interesting when you talk about the Mets' depth right now, particularly at AAA. If Jordan Yamamoto goes out and has some unbelievable lights-out season, but he can't crack the Mets roster, they could still go that route, and maybe he becomes a piece at the trade deadline that, you know, a rebuilding team looks at and says, well, you know, maybe he could be a good four starter for us for years to come. And the Mets maybe can, you know, rehabilitate an asset that the Marlins discarded and turn him into something. Now, there's some other aspects of this that I'll expand on. And I do want to talk a little bit more about locker room right now before I play my first bit of audio from it, because it was a lot of fun. It really was to engage with some fans. And, you know, I don't know if I'll always play the audio on the podcast the next day, because we have a lot of people on cell phones. And so you might hear sirens at some point. You might hear somebody, slurping a drink, with the sound of suction with some ice. I mean, I'll just be honest, there's some parts that, you know, obviously aren't as crisp as when I would just have a normal podcast guest, but at the same time, I want you to see what this platform is so that more of you fans come out and join me on these locker rooms, because it was really great to talk to some of the Mets fans that have been listening to this show. So we're going to play some of that audio in just a minute. But there's one reason, if you're going to repair and maintain your cars yourself, the main reason, right, is to save money. Why else would you be going through the hassle of doing that yourself? So then why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts that are chain store new car dealership, when you can just go to rockauto.com, a family business that has been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and then choose the brand specifications and prices you prefer. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in there, "How'd you hear about us" box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast, hosted by Peter Bukowski. Locked On Today is a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes by subscribing to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on,
yo, Ryan? Dude, it's been a while. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you know who I am.
I'm being honest. I don't. Refresh my memory.
You came on my podcast, actually. A lot of Mets when I was first going out.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, dude, I'm just crazy, bro. Like, ever since that show, I went from having, like, five guys listen, I'm on my podcast, and now thank God we're at 250. So
I appreciate it, dude.
I really appreciate you. My question to you is, right, what percentage would you put on the Mets re-signing Lindor, obviously before the off season, before the season begins?
I feel like that's going to get done. I have more confidence on Lindor coming to terms on a deal than Conforto, because if you're Conforto's camp right now, we know Boris likes to push his guys to free agency. What's the incentive to sign a deal right now on a team discount when you're going to be probably the only all-star caliber outfielder on the market next offseason? So I think I'm not saying that Conforto is not going to get an extension or not going to re-sign with the Mets, but I just don't think that's happening before opening day. Now, I know that you're not as high on Conforto as I am, but let me just talk about the Lindor thing, and then we'll circle back. So with Lindor, you look at the market, right? Correa, you know, Seager, Story, there's so many shortstops. The incentive has to be to get a deal done now from his camp. I think that he probably wants to get, obviously, the $300 million. So as long as the Mets go to that number, I feel like a deal ultimately gets done. It also could be one of those things, I don't know if you remember when DeGrom signed, where it happened like right at opening day, maybe right after opening day. I remember it was right around there. It could be at the last second, but I feel like Lindor gets done.
I got you. If you want to circle back to Conforto, right? You say on a team-friendly deal, right? But if you take out last year, because it was only 52 games or 48, I don't know, something like that, right? He's a career 250 hitter, right? So if you put Conforto, right, so in my eyes, I think that Conforto is going to come back to earth to where after a full 162 game season, he may hit 35 homers, but he's going to bat 260. You know, does a 260 hitter in right field get a $200 million contract? I don't think so. And for the first time in the Mets history, money is not a problem. Okay. So if Conforto goes out and hits 300 again, go ahead and pay him that Bryce Harper contract, whatever it is. If he shows that last season was not a fluke, fine, pay him.
So what I would say with Conforto, you know, I always wanted to see them come to terms on a deal with them. I know I'm higher on Conforto than you are. You know, I think Michael Conforto is the type of player, for one, I think he has a huge impact on that clubhouse. But also, I think that he might not be what he was in 2020. But even if you get the guy in 2019 who set career highs basically across the board, that was still a really good player. And so I look at Conforto and, you know, if you're talking about a contract that's, you know, north of $20 million, but maybe just shy or around 25, somewhere in there, I'm comfortable with that deal. But if you're Conforto in his camp and you're projecting what he did in 2020 and you know Boris is in his ear and you're saying, look, Conforto, you are on pace to have this monster season if you had what you did in 2020 over a full year, and there's no one else in that outfield market that can hold a candle to you, go out there and play for it. So I feel like that's where they're probably at, where Conforto is going to go into this contract year playing for that big contract. And I just don't think that, you know, there's as much – I think there is a bigger risk for Lindor to fall off than Conforto, because – Lindor already has established that high price tag with what he's done in his career. He's already, you know, four-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glove, two-time Silver Slugger, took a team to the World Series. He's already earned the $300 million bag. Conforto hasn't yet. That's why I feel like, you know, there's probably a better chance that one gets done, just because they're already negotiating in that $300 million ballpark. I'm sure the Mets offer to Conforto right now was probably like, what, 5-4-120 maybe? And if Conforto is looking for 250, they're so far apart, there's no chance.
Now, that was not all that me and Mendy talked about. You know, if you want to hear all of that, if you want to miss out on some of that Mets content, make sure you tune in for the next Locker Room. And you know what? Hopefully, you're the fan talking to me. So I appreciate Mendy for kind of getting the ball rolling during that Locker Room. And like I said, kind of the big conversation throughout that happened at the end there with me and Brian Lozinski, where we talked about the latest news with Jordan Yamamoto. I will be playing that for you in just a minute. But if you want to bet on the New York Mets to win the National League East, and you know what? It's better to bet early than late on this one, because I have a feeling those odds are going to continue to go down every passing week that the Mets are dominating the National League East this year. And you want to go to BetOnline, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. With real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you could imagine, BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We have been telling you about Built Bar for some time now, because this is the best tasting protein bar on the market. And right now, there is something really exciting going on with these low-calorie, low-sugar, high-in-protein, high-in-fiber, amazing treats, and that is Built Bar Madness. We are trying to figure out which Built Bar flavor is the best, and today's matchup is Mint Brownie versus Coconut Puff. Now, I've told you in the past that Cookies and Cream has become my favorite Built Bar, but Mint Brownie was kind of a first love of mine, so he asked me which one to vote for. I'd say go for Mint Brownie. So go to BuiltBar.com or to Built_Bar on Twitter, and you can vote on your favorites. Also, remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. From there, you can check back and see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
What's going on, Brian?
Hey, Ryan. Love the show. Great work. Really love following your stuff. It's you fill a really interesting niche in the world of Mets podcasts with your mixture of like analytics and fandom as well. So it's really it's a fun listen. You kind of touched upon this to start the show, and I was curious what your thoughts were on the Yamamoto sent down to AAA to start the year. And I know earlier, one of your earlier podcasts this week, you had mentioned Lucchese being maybe limited in his number of pitches. I was wondering what you thought might be the some of the reasons for that send down.
Yeah, to me, I think that really I believe it means Mike Montgomery has a good shot making this team. There's an option in Montgomery's contract where he can kind of shop around if he can get a big league offer elsewhere. He can opt out of his deal with the Mets. And I think that Lucchese was maybe heading towards that swingman role. And now I think Lucchese is going to be that fifth starter. And I would not be surprised if Montgomery was kind of that last man coming out of the bullpen. I think Yamamoto showed a lot of good stuff in spring. But when they made that nod that Peterson was going to be the four, and I think that, you know, Yamamoto is a guy that's still young enough where I think he can benefit a lot from that seasoning in AAA, whereas Lucchese has been up, you know, at the big league level a lot already. And he might even be a guy where you run out there and if he gets knocked around for four or five starts at his age, I mean, not that he's old, but he's definitely a little bit further along than Yamamoto. He might be a guy that you'd be quicker to DFA. So in a sense, it could mean that the Mets are viewing Yamamoto as kind of a guy that can fill a real hole in their farm system of not having many, you know, top pitching prospects at AAA. Now you have Yamamoto and Sam McWilliams that will both be in AAA as guys that probably see some time in Queens at some point this year. But they can get a lot of development. They can work on some things, you know, and not have to worry as much about performing and helping the team win.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What are you seeing in Castro this spring that's made him so seemingly untouchable?
It's interesting. I think Castro and Familia are kind of very similar pitchers, but Castro is obviously a lot younger, so he's still at a stage in his career where he can figure some things out. But both of them, my biggest concern is, can they find the strike zone? Because you look at the stuff, and the stuff is really nasty, even with Familia still. So I think the fact that Castro is not walking a ton of batters is huge. I think off the top of my head, his walk per nine with the Mets last year was like 9. So that would mean that he was basically walking a batter every single inning he got in the game. That's not going to lead to a lot of success. But if he can find the strike zone and he can work that high velocity stuff that he has, I mean, he can be an interesting piece for the Mets. Right now, heading into opening day, if you had to ask me, the arms that I think can really get high leverage outs, I'm probably most confident in Edwin Diaz, Trevor May, and it might be Miguel Castro right now.
Yeah, you've seen probably a lot of the same highlights that I was looking at earlier on Twitter that had Castro's stuff really snapping away from the righties. And part of me wonders, though, like you said, him being able to find the strike zone, if spring isn't more of a time for guys who might have limited at-bats to show their stuff, so they're a bit more aggressive going up there hacking versus a little more patient, you know, pure, you know, major league player in the regular season might be sitting back and let Castro have to work to find the strike zone.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, I think also one of the things that we never really talk about is we don't know what these guys look like on the backfields, because you got to think that for the guys evaluating talent, you know, a lot of stuff can be coming from those B games that we don't get to see. We don't know what the numbers are where, you know, a guy like Miguel Castro or maybe even someone like Jordan Yamamoto is going up against those really good Mets hitters. And if maybe even it is Yamamoto, who maybe he was struggling when he faced the Mets lineup, and that led them to believe that against some of the better teams in baseball, he might not have been quite ready. So I definitely think it's hard to read too much into spring numbers. It's almost like you only kind of get takeaways if it's one of the extremes. So for Pete Alonso, the fact that he's red hot right now and looks like he did before his rookie year, that's a good sign. You know, for someone like Betances who can't get that velocity up, that's obviously concerning. Or if you have another pitcher, you know, even like Corey Oswalt, who had a pretty nice start today, but overall didn't really do anything that stood out. I think sometimes you kind of look at the extremes more than anything else.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think almost in that same vein, seeing what Jeff McNeil's had a little bit of a struggle offensively, is that something you think he's just working on some different things, going after pitches he might not otherwise? He's a obviously an emotional guy, so he's always a competitor trying to make the most out of every at-bat. So I'm curious, what do you see anything there that is cause for alarm? Or you know, obviously it's spring and these games don't count, but you know, sometimes it could be an insight into maybe some early struggles that some hitters might see.
He's one of those guys that I tend not to worry about. I just think Jeff McNeil is such a good hitter. I think he'll figure out any problems that he might have. Last year, I know he went through a slump, but it was really tied to that collision he had with the wall. I mean, he was, you know, going pretty good at the start of the year. Hits the wall, probably comes back too early because it's a shortened season, and you know, really struggled for about, you know, 10 days or so. Once he kind of got back to 100%, he finished the year pretty hot. So I'm not too concerned about Jeff McNeil's slow spring. You know, it would not surprise me at all if the last three games of spring we see McNeil rack up like 7 hits and go in with a lot of confidence come opening day. I'd be more worried if he has a bad first month.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't want to dominate the time, but I'll keep going if nobody else has.
Hey, no one else is talking, so it's just you and me right now. Appreciate it.
You and I, all right. One on one. Here we go. Mendy's in the rain. He must be in the Northeast like me in Jersey. I guess I'm curious. I originally thought when I saw Peterson sort of get the nod from Rojas earlier in the week, or maybe the end of last week, that might have said, all right, Lucchese's the one that's going to be pushed away. You know, just from a structure of, you know, of the five-man rotation, do you give any insight into why maybe that's something there, that the lefty situation, some of the lefty strength in the division, maybe that's a reason to get two guys in this starting five?
Yeah, it is interesting to go back-to-back lefties. I mean, because I don't believe they're going to start either of them in front of Taijuan Walker. Even though those things probably shouldn't matter too much, I still think, you know, you kind of want to have that, you know, top three guys so that if you have a big series, like, you know, the first one against the Nationals, you know that you're going to go to your, you know, your horses to start out the year. So I think that ultimately I really believe that once Peterson got that nod to be the fourth starter, I think they were trying to decide what to do. And I think they could have gone a route where Lucchese could have been the swing man. And I could be wrong. Montgomery could, you know, pick another team and sign elsewhere in the next couple of days. And I might be dead wrong in this, but I feel like this has a lot to do with Montgomery and maybe keeping him around. And so it's more about sending Yamamoto to AAA to get that seasoning. And, you know, I think I even saw Yamamoto tweet something out that, you know, he looks at life as, you know, glass half full, not, you know, glass half empty. I think he's looking at this as an opportunity, not as a slight. And so if you have a guy going into AAA with that mindset, you know, this could be a really good, you know, way for Yamamoto to really, you know, impact his career going forward. I think we've seen sometimes guys get sent down and that can kind of spark something. Even looking at Luis Guillorme, you know, he makes the team in 2019, you know, doesn't ultimately perform, gets sent down, has a great season in Syracuse, gets promoted in August, was great down the stretch, and has been great ever since. So I think it's more about Yamamoto than it necessarily is about Lucchese. I think all of them had pretty good numbers throughout spring. So that's the way I'm looking at it, at least.
That'll be all for today's edition of Locked on Mets. Again, shout out to both Mendy and Brian Lozinski for talking to me on the locker room. Also, Larry Hammonds, host of the Ear Wheaties podcast, spent some time talking Mets with me in the locker room. Want to make sure to give him a shout out, even though I did not play a clip from our conversation. I just want all of you to kind of get a little snippet of what the first locker room is like to maybe entice you to join me next week at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, which will be the eve of opening day. So that should definitely be a fun one. Make sure you download the app on your iOS device, and then you can join. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And the Locked On MLB Division Preview Series continues on Locked On MLB Today. Every episode from now until the 31st features in-depth looks at each team in every division. And it's all on the Locked On MLB podcast feed right now. So follow Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcasts.